May is National Stroke Awareness Month. We have with us in the studio this morning David Flick, a PA with Pardee Neurology Associates at Pardee UNC Healthcare. David, welcome to the studio.
Thank you so much, Mark. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Glad to have you here. First of all, just tell us a little bit about strokes.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Those of us who may not know so much about it.
Yeah, let's put things simply. In Henderson County, we have almost roughly 115,000 people, and that was statistics from 2017. In May alone of this year, 65,000 people will have strokes in that month. So for May alone, 65,000 people have strokes. That's almost more than half this county every month will have a stroke.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty big. Nationally speaking, that's 800,000 strokes a year that people will have. And that's either new or recurrent strokes. To take that a little further, of a third of those strokes, of the 65,000 a month, 22,000 of those people will not get to the ER within the magic time frame of 3 hours or less. And I'll talk about that a little bit, but that's so important because today you have options when you have a stroke. It's not, oh, you're done. You actually have choice, or not choices. You have things that can be done to diminish or minimize the impact of the stroke itself. Yeah, to put things in perspective for people, I'm going to cut you off. Go ahead.
No. I was going to say, I'd like to talk about some of those things in a little bit.
Sure, we are.
But tell us, for folks, what exactly is a stroke?
Yeah, a way to look at it, people have always heard of a heart attack as an attack on your heart. Think about a stroke as an attack on your brain. Literally, your brain just doesn't get oxygen. So if you think about a hose, you literally are kinking the hose or you're blocking the hose that the hose can no longer deliver water to a vital source, in this case, blood. And what that blood has is oxygen, and that's what feeds your brain.
And there are different kinds of strokes also,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah, there's two types of strokes. The most common is what they call an ischemic stroke. That makes up 80-88% of most strokes. And what that basically is you're blocking a vessel so the blood, which carries oxygen, can't get to vital tissue. The nice thing about those, a lot of those, believe it or not, 80-90% of those strokes, and even the second kind I'm about to talk to, can be prevented. 80-90% can be prevented, and that's what people forget about strokes. The other kind is called a hemorrhagic stroke. That's the ones where we get scared about, and that's literally when you have a blood vessel that bursts open. So going back to your water hose, if your hose gets a rip in it, it opens up. Those are dangerous. Unfortunately, a good many people who have those type of strokes do not survive. Those are dangerous types of strokes. So ischemics are the most common type. That's what we see, and then hemorrhagics are the least common that we see.
Okay. So you talk about folks with one of those types of strokes really being able to do something about that ultimately, but you talked about a time. So obviously we need to be able to recognize when someone is having it. How do we do that?
Great question. I always tell folks, keep it simple. There's a little acronym called FAST. F-A-S-T. F, if you think you're having a stroke, look in the mirror or look at somebody and ask them to smile. If their smile is asymmetrical, uneven, take them to the hospital immediately. A is for arms. Have them raise their arms up. If one arm can't raise up or starts drifting downward, take them to the hospital. S is speech. Ask them to say a little simple sentence. Or if you're by yourself, talk out loud. If you're slurring your words, go to the hospital. And the most important thing is that T is time. Today, if people get to the hospital, and our magic window is 3 hours. Some studies will even say 4.5 hours. The earlier you get there, the more you have opportunities for intervention to minimize your chances of having a more lasting impact on the stroke.
And what type of intervention takes place? What is it that happens in those 3 hours?
Great question. So if it's an ischemic stroke where you actually have a blockage of a vessel, we call that a thrombus, we have what we call clot-busting drugs. These are drugs that literally are given in the ER, and they're under the supervision of a neurologist, and we make sure that that clot can be dissolved or dismembered, if you will. That body reabsorbs it, and these individuals have quick recovery. We've had people come in who can't talk, who can't walk, who can't speak. They get a clot-busting drug, and they're doing fine an hour later. We keep them overnight for observation,
sure,
but these drugs work very, very well. If it's a more serious clot, and we can't, and they're not a candidate for a clot-busting drug, we might do something called a thrombectomy, and that's when you actually go in and retrieve a blood clot, like a catheterization for people's heart. We can actually feed a catheter up into the brain of the vessel and retrieve that clot out.
Thrombectomy?
Thrombectomy.
That's it. We're going to use that as one of our words of the day.
Thrombectomy. Yeah.
All right. So is there anything, and the answer may be no to this, I'm just curious. If we do see someone or ourselves and we feel like we're having a stroke, first thing is get to the hospital. Is there anything we can do before going to the hospital that may help, like an aspirin or something?
Yeah, it's a great question. Some people say, well, should I take an 81 milligram aspirin? And some people will. They can, okay? But if somebody's already on a blood thinner already, then you may not want to take an aspirin because that may make your blood too thin. So the answer is, in the simplest terms, if you take the 81 milligram aspirin, great. Do we advocate it one way or the other? No. It's a little bit different than a heart attack where people will take it. Uh-huh. So for a lot of folks, just get to the hospital. Because because if EMS is summoned to the house, they may even get you an aspirin out in the field. But typically, we don't say take one or not one. Just get to the hospital.
Okay, you said at the very beginning, a lot of people are going to have a stroke this year.
Mm-hmm.
So what can we do to reduce that number? What are the things we can do? How do we reduce the risk of having a stroke?
Yeah, so that's a good question. And just put things in perspective, every 4 minutes in this country, someone dies of a stroke. Dies, okay? A stroke happens every 40 seconds in this country. Every 40 seconds. So these aren't just a random events. These happen very frequently, okay? It's the fifth leading cause of death in the United States. Fifth leading cause. And that's along with heart attacks, cancer. So this is in the big boys league, unfortunately. But these are serious things. The nice things are 80 to 90% of these can be prevented.
Okay. And what can we do to help prevent that?
Yeah. Number one thing is know your numbers. People are like, what does that mean? So if you have high blood pressure, you really want to be monitoring your blood pressure at the house. Know what your numbers are. Your physician, he or she, will give you a ceiling. That's where you really want to watch. The other thing is, if you are taking blood pressure medication, take it. So often we hear, oh, I didn't take it. Oh, I forgot it. Oh, I left it. Blood pressure is a huge thing for prevention of stroke. Number one reason why people have strokes is blood pressure. In fact, 48% of all strokes, if we could get rid of hypertension across the board, strokes wouldn't occur. 48%. So I tell folks, it's huge. Get after it. Get after it.
If you have a family history of strokes, does that mean you are more prone to having a stroke, or is it particularly the high blood pressure?
Great question. You've been doing your homework, I see. Yeah, so there's modifiable risk and non-modifiable. So if there's a history in your genetics tree, you can't change your genetics. You can change your hair and your music and your clothing, but you can't change your genes. So there are modifiable risk factors. And one, as we mentioned, would be your high blood pressure. Another one, there may be a family history of high cholesterol or high triglycerides or high lipids that may be genetic, but you still have ability to modify that. So therefore, we tell folks the genetic component is something we look at. But more importantly, we look at those things that are modifiable. In fact, on the genetic component there, if there's a family history of that stuff, it's not as high as some of the other ones. So we talked about the hypertension, the fats, or what we call the lipids in the body. If we could eliminate all that, almost 27% of strokes would be eliminated. The other big thing, and this is something we're all guilty of, including myself, physical inactivity. That's huge. If we could, if everybody could be active, and I'm going to talk about how much, almost 30%, 36% of strokes could be eliminated if people were more physically active. Because again, a stroke is that decreased blood flow to the brain, a blockage of the brain. So if you're getting more blood flow to the brain due to better perfusion, that's one way to prevent this. So what's recommended by the American Heart Association, if you can get 3 days a week of at least 25 minutes of moderate activity, or 5 days a week of a somewhat less than moderate activity, 25 to 30 minutes, that's what would be recommended for being active. And a lot of folks think, oh, I have to go to a gym or I have to do an extra. No, park further out in the grocery store parking lot, park further out in church. More activity is the name of the game.
It's really interesting in all of these interviews with our party associates and doctors and so forth, no matter what we're talking about, what people may suffer from, many times the way to reduce those, it's really all the same thing.
It's the basic black and white. Go back to the beginning.
Want to remind folks, it's National Stroke Awareness Month. It's May. We're talking with David Fleck, a PA with Party Neurology Associates and Party UNC Healthcare. I have one more question for you, David.
Sure.
Apparently, Party UNC Healthcare got a Gold Plus Quality Achievement Award. Tell me about that.
Yeah, we're really proud of this. This is an award given by the American Heart Association for those hospitals who exhibit higher standards of care in treating their strokes. So it's not, here you go, congratulations, you did nothing. We actually had to show for more than a year that we were meeting national guidelines for stroke care, using the latest technology, doing the latest guidelines that's recommended. So we started out as a bronze, then we went to a silver, now we're a gold, and now we're a gold plus, which means not only are we meeting these requirements for this award, each time it comes up for a recertification, we're achieving it and we're going beyond that. So this, what this does for the community, or what the benefit of the community is, hey, you're going to get top quality care at Pardee with our stroke care team. The other thing this does for the team is you get better quality care, which lowers readmission rates, and it keeps the community safer and healthier. But again, it's a nice accolade to have because, again, this is something there's been a team of people, not only neurology, but the people in the ER, the hospitalists, the internists, the family physicians. Everybody has worked on us as a team. So we're all pretty proud of the fact that we are now a gold plus status.
Wow. David, great information. Thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Hey, thank you so much.
Okay. If you would like to learn more about stroke treatment at Pardee, visit pardeehospital.org.